This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
They say killers always make the mistakes. And in Brian Koberger's case, that mistake may have been a single snap, both in literal form and on a knife sheath. And the digital kind in the form of a selfie taken just hours after the University of Idaho students were brutally murdered. This is the biggest break in the case I think we have seen since they found Koberger. Would you agree? I mean, I think this is the DNA was a big thing. That was, I would say, the biggest until now. This, I mean, you don't even need DNA, quite honestly, at this point. It certainly helps, and they will use it. But this, to me, it's telling. This is something we did not know officially, and it makes me wonder what else we don't know quite yet. In the latest court documents released this week, prosecutors have dropped what might be the most damning evidence against Koberger yet. It all comes down to three things: a K-bar knife purchase, a smug post-murder selfie, and a sudden online search for a replacement weapon.
Oh, no. Okay, so wait a minute. This guy is a criminology PhD student. This isn't a minor in criminology. This is, I've got my master's, I'm moving on to a PhD. Really? And you make this mistake?
It's one thing
to leave your weapon behind, allegedly, at the crime scene. It's another to go, well, I'd like to have another for my next possible alleged crime. Why do you need a replacement, you fool?
I'm trying to run this through my mind and go, why is he thinking that he needs it? Because he doesn't have it anymore. So he wants to be able to show that if they were to ever look into him, he's got his right here. This is his sheath. This is his knife. And no, the one at the scene, I got mine. I can't possibly one because I already have mine right here. But he's not thinking that they're going to look at the Amazon history. He's too... they're never going to go that far. He thinks he's too smart for the room, and that's the problem. He thinks he's too smart for the room. And then you make mistakes because you're on the autism spectrum, which again can be a superpower, or it can make you make really dumb, obvious mistakes while having superpowers. Your brain works differently, dude. And in his case, very differently. Let's start with a knife because it's impossible to ignore. Newly unsealed records confirm that months before the murders, Koberger's Amazon account was used to purchase a K-bar knife, a leather sheath, and a knife sharpener.
Oh.
Which, by the way, that knife sharpener, when you look at it, if you didn't know what it was, because I didn't know what it was when I first saw somebody post a picture of the knife sharpener, I would say vacuum cleaner attachment. Which also happens to be what one of the surviving roommates thought they saw this guy walking out of the house with.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh my goodness.
So he brought the sharpener, allegedly. Which is like weird. Like, is that, I don't collect knives. So I know nothing about knife land. But if you're if you're going to go commit a murder, do you bring the sharpener with you?
No.
Just in case you got to like I have kitchen knives. If I'm going to go cook at someone's house, I would bring my sharpener. But I'm cooking food. I'm not murdering people. So I'm thinking you kind of, you know, and I would bring it like in a like a clothes basket with all the other tools I need for cooking. I think if you're going to go kill somebody, you probably don't have like a bag of goodies. You probably just want to be as, you know, least descript as you can, get in, get out. But I don't know. Maybe he was a little more methodical. Seems kind of like that type of a guy. Brought the sharpener. So he realizes, I mean, if we're playing this out and we're accurate to it, he remembers to take the sharpener with him out, but he leaves a sheath. I wonder if he thought he had the sheath.
Well, I'm sure he did. I mean,
and maybe didn't realize till he was out that, like, oh shit. Now, wow. On its own, buying a knife isn't a crime, but here's where things get interesting. The K-Bar knife sheath was found at the crime scene under one of the victims with Koberger's DNA on it. And if you're the defense, there's only so many ways to explain that away. And their current strategy? They're suggesting that someone else took Koberger's DNA and planted it there. That's the best argument they've got. And that was before it came out that, oh, by the way, he bought the knife. They knew it. Ann Taylor's known this all along. It's all part of discovery. It's just now that we are officially learning about this. The defense has known this all along. That's why they know they have such a strong case against him. And I'm sure they have other pieces that are maybe even more damning than this. But they've known this all along. And we've kind of been suspecting for quite a while that, yeah, they're getting backed into corners here. They're not going to get very much further. They're really relying on really kind of bizarre theories at this point. And I think we see why. Because inevitably this day was going to come.
Yeah.
Ann Taylor was trying to keep this excluded from the court, but no.
Now we know why.
It gets worse because after the murders, Koberger was allegedly searching for another knife and sheath online. Now, why would someone who just carried out a gruesome crime with a very specific weapon suddenly feel the need to replace it? The prosecution says it's because he realized he left the sheath behind. And then there's the next piece to this, which is a huge insult, I think, to the families, the victims. And this is what's going to get a bullet in you, Brian. The snap you took here, that's going to get you killed. That right there is how you will die and why you will die. By a firing squad. I hope they miss. I mean, I hope they hit him, but I hope they miss the heart. I hope it's like suffering for a while. Because this jackass had the idea, literally within hours of the murders taking place. This was taken like around 10 a.m. that morning, that everybody is over there freaking out going, oh my God, what's going on? He's in a shower taking a selfie with a thumbs up. Looking all clean, so fresh and so clean, clean.
Yeah, when's the last time you took a selfie like that?
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, never.
Who was that for? What was it for? What was the occasion? Why?
What came to my mind, and this is just my own two cents, is this a thumbs up to his online bras? And I don't know that there are any, because again, we don't know a lot of the digital footprints, but I would not be surprised if we found out that he's been, you know, dabbling with incel communities. Is this a like a sign to them, like, I did it? Ugh. After murdering four people, allegedly, you're all cleaned up. You look so proud. You're taking a thumbs up. And a lot of people are going, where's the shower curtain? I don't know the answer. Like, I do wonder, because some people are saying there's no shower curtain. I don't know. That might be.
I think it's off to the right.
I think that might be the shower curtain there on the edge, because it's not a straight line as you would think if it was like the structure of the end of the shower. So I think, I don't know. I mean, people are speculating, like, did he like do something with the shower curtain? I don't know. I don't
think the shower. I'm not sure we can go that far.
I'm not going to go that far with it. Just hours after the killings, Koberger took this photo of himself on his phone. He's smirking slightly, looking right into the camera, eerily calm for someone who allegedly just committed a quadruple homicide. But beyond the unsettling image itself, there's one detail that makes this photo particularly important about the case. Well, I think there's actually two. The eyebrows.
Yep.
Because they were going to try and argue that, oh, well, his eyebrows, that they he didn't have bushy eyebrows at that moment. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And also, if you look real close, here, let me get my mouse down over here.
Okay. Okay.
If you look real, real close at this picture, and you look real, real close at that thumb,
looks like it has a little friction burn on it, doesn't it? Like it might have been used for some sort of activity that would cause friction to your thumb in that specific area. Like you might have just been stabbing four people a couple hours earlier before you got yourself all cleaned up to look pretty for the camera.
Hmm.
So there's that too.
Yeah, if you know, if you're using a allegedly, of course, a weapon in a violent manner, you're going to cause trauma to yourself as well. And how do you explain what's on his thumb? I don't know.
I don't know either. But it's
damning. Is he a lefty? Because that's his left hand.
That is his left hand. I don't know. That's a good question.
He might be.
See if you can find the answer to that. ChatGPT it while I continue. One of the surviving roommates who saw the suspect inside the house described him as having bushy eyebrows. That's all she could make out through the mask. I'm sure we're going to find out more of the Amazon history, too, and what else was bought. Now, if you've seen Brian Koberger, you know his eyebrows aren't just bushy. They could be classified as their own ecosystem. This isn't just a weird coincidence. Prosecutors argue that this photo directly backs up the eyewitness account, giving the jury something to connect Koberger to the crime beyond just DNA and circumstantial evidence. But the defense isn't going down without a fight. They've now filed motions to try and ban the phrase bushy eyebrows from the trial.
All right. So how about out of control eyebrows? I mean, that's, but that's what they saw, was somebody with very bushy eyebrows. I mean, another person in the world that we can all think of is Eugene Levy of Schitt's Creek. He's got bushy eyebrows. They're very similar.
If you can't beat it, ban it.
Yeah. By the way, there's been speculation about Brian Koberger's dominant hand, but no official confirmation has been publicly released. Some have pointed to potential evidence, such as the location of the knife sheath found at the crime scene, which would suggest whether the attacker was left or right-handed, but no direct statement or verified documentation. His dominant hand remains uncertain at this time. He hasn't written anything at the table, has he?
Not that I'm aware of. I could be wrong.
He just really sits there.
Well, and they don't have the camera focused on him, so I don't know that you'd even really see it. Maybe, I don't know, but that would be something to watch. I mean, it'd be very interesting to go through the footage to see if he does write anything ever, but I don't know that that's ever been. A sleuth would have known this answer by now. If it's out there, it would be out there.
Yeah.
I think that's a question for somebody who knows him, like an old friend or somebody, or one of the students, I think, may be able to answer that, you know, because he was teaching, and when he was writing on the board, what was he using? If anybody remembers correctly. Yeah.
That's a tough thing to remember. You got a 50-50 shot. How is your memory?
Yeah. They also want to block the words murderer, psychopath, and sociopath, claiming they could bias a jury. Just might, unless that's your diagnosis.
Right?
It's a bold strategy to try and control the language so tightly that the jury doesn't see Koberger for what the evidence suggests he is. Still, with or without these words, the case against him is only getting stronger. And then, of course, there's the rest of the evidence. Surveillance footage showing Koberger's white Hyundai Elantra circling the victim's house multiple times before the murders, then speeding away minutes after the estimated time of death. Cell phone data shows his phone was turned on during the murders, or turned off during the murders, then suddenly back on as he drove away from the purported crime scene. And a dog hair, potentially from the victim's dog, was found in Koberger's apartment. Testing is ongoing.
Yeah, that's a problem too, because that's very specific.
That would be a bit of another issue. Every new detail that emerges seems to bring the case closer and closer to conviction. Set for August of 25. Prosecution's
bullshit.
Going for the death penalty. I don't know. I mean, I think we're on track for the timing of the trial at this point. I don't see why.
I think it would be absolute suicide for him to go through with it. I liked your theory the other day that they're going to do a plea deal, especially with this information. Like, how can you get a trial?
The state may say no. The state may not even offer a plea. They may just want to kill him at this point and go and talk to the families and see what they think.
Because
I think they got him dead to rights. I think it's game over for Koberger. I mean, he's innocent till proven guilty, but I'm sorry, you bought the damn knife. And I've been saying for months now, like, if we can prove that he bought the damn knife, it's game over. Here we are.
Sure feels that way.
Now I want to see his search history, because that's going to tell us a lot more, too. I want to see everything he clicked on. The defense has also been arguing, well, you know, the algorithms, they suggest things to you. Maybe he didn't even want to buy this knife, and he kept basically pressuring him to buy the knife. They're trying to, like, argue this. Like, oh, damn, I got this knife I really didn't want because Amazon kept suggesting it to me. What should I? I should go kill some people with it. That's what I should use. I wouldn't have killed people unless Amazon suggested I buy this knife. And quit while you're ahead. You seem to be a pretty good attorney. Just stop. just stop, because this is not going to... It's done. It's done. We've seen it all. Getting creative, I'll give you that. But it's not creative happy hour anymore. And it's not going to end well. The other thing that the Koberger team is now asking for is a specific dress code in the trial. They are requesting that no one wears T-shirts or shirts depicting the victims of the crimes. So they're asking the families not to wear any shirts, or that's what he wants them to ask the families, not to wear any shirts that would convey, you know, someone seeing these innocent lives that were lost, and anything that also suggests that he should be shot by a firing squad.
Well, okay. I can get behind that, I guess.
I talked to Eric Faddis about it today in depth, and you'll hear it in the interviews next week here on the podcast. I said, is this common? Is this normal? Or is there, like, already just kind of decorum in courts of, like, you can't do that? He's like, no, there really isn't. Like, it's not common for someone to, like, ask for a dress code, especially when you're the defendant.
Kind of a quirky thing. So this is Koberger's camp, or is this him?
It's Koberger's camp.
Yeah, wow.
Asking for this.
They're really trying to have control over some very minute things.
Well, it's things that will likely get him killed. And because they're trying to remove as much emotion from this trial as they possibly can. And that's their job. I get it. But that's what's going to get a firing squad in front of him, is emotion. Because if he's convicted and that jury 100% believes that he did it, and then you have this icing on the cake of this jackass thumbs up, like, literally 5 to 10 hours after the murders, he's going to get the firing squad.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. And when they pull their, like, what if someone's against a death penalty? They're not. Because if you're against a death penalty, you will not be on that jury. That's one of the first questions they're going to ask everybody. They will not allow someone on a death panel, basically, who is morally opposed to it, because they will say no matter what. You have to be open to it to be on that jury.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're open enough to it, and you see that, Brian, surprise, you're gonna die.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. The mansion was pristine. Gleaming marble floors, priceless art, not a speck of dust in sight. But beneath all that luxury, secrets, dark ones. The kind that send a chill down your spine when you realize someone's watching. And the housekeeper, she saw everything. The late night visitors, the missing jewelry, the glass of wine that was only half finished before she disappeared. Some say the husband was heartbroken. Others say he was just waiting for the insurance check to clear. But if she had just been prepared, if she had just known the patterns of these kinds of crimes, if she had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where she could listen to Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski, ad-free, and before everyone else, she could have gotten out. Instead, well, let's just say her final paycheck is still sitting in the mailroom. Don't make the same mistake. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.